you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Balk Talk Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, NBC Sports Bay Area's Jessica Kleinschmidt.
Welcome back to another episode of Balk Talk brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's is taking the pretzel bun to a new level with their Pretzel Bun Bacon Pub Cheeseburger at participating Wendy's for a limited time only. All right, guys, I'm riding solo today. Independent woman who don't need no co-host. I wrote that joke and I'm realizing how awful it sounds. Sorry about that. But really, I do want to do something different and see what y'all were curious about this off season. Before I do, I want y'all to know I'm very aware of what's going on in the world right now, especially this nation. I know stress and anxiety is at an all-time high. Know that I'm thinking about you. I hope this creates somewhat of a distraction. And if not, just know I'm supposed to create content. I have to do this. This was scheduled, so I hope you don't think I'm ignoring all of the important stuff going on in the nation. Like I said, I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. We're all in this together. And I hope you guys stay well. With that said, let's answer some of these questions. What I did was I went to Twitter and opened up and said, you know, what do you guys want to know? Right, you know, in the middle of very important stuff going on in the nation. And I'm sorry about that once again. But we're going to start with Coach Spat 15 on Twitter. My dear friend Alex Fuse forwarded this question to me. His question was, he wants to know what was the best A's team that was built by Billy Bean and who is my 1990s random Oakland A. So for starters, I'm a bit biased. The last two seasons I've been kind of hardcore covering the A's beat, and it's been such a blessing. So right off the bat, the 2020 season was unique and weird and full of firsts for me. And you know, last season was great too. It was the last season that I realized like I would see Tyler Skaggs in person, so that was very, very special to me. And I got to Burning Man with Coco and covered the first postseason, but this season was definitely special. However, 2012 was a really huge season for me because I feel like that squad was so unique and different and put the A's on the map. And it really made me want to cover that team. The team had, you know, Yoenis Cespedes. So it was very swaggy and sexy and had eyebrows. And Jared Parker was on the team, Brandon McCarthy, Brandon Moss, Coco Crisp, of course. But most importantly, it had Bartolo Colon. We love him. And they would go on to win the AL West. And it really actually made me start paying attention to the bullpen arms also. Grant Balfour kind of introduced this intensity to me out of the bullpen and kind of, maybe that's why I was so kind of had this affinity for Liam Hendricks this past season. They're both Aussies and have this intensity about them, but Liam Hendricks also like weird, quirky and unique. You could approach him in the clubhouse and he's laid back, but the moment he was on the mound, you didn't want to screw with him. And so I really liked that. So that it was just such a fun team, and to watch them clinch, they, you know, I love that team so much. I'm using the word clinch and I hate that word. so I like that, but my 1990 A's random A's player, not the actual 90s. I think it was like mid 90s was Tom Candiotti. Give me that knuckleball. I love a knuckleball. And I feel like it's kind of the DH of pitches, you know, the R.A. Dickey's extending their career by using that pitch. So I really liked me some Candiotti, and I've actually spoken to him before about that knuckleball. So that's my random guy. Next question, a friend of the podcast who's actually been on the podcast, Gary Sheffield Jr. He asked about the shift and should it be banned or limited in any way? So straight up, I just don't feel like it should. No, it should not be banned. Limited, no. I like the shift because I'm just a defensive nerd. Scouting your opponent, I feel, is a huge part of the game. It's a huge part of the process. It's no different from other sports, right? You're going to play a guy differently if you know his strengths. And plus, think about it this way, like, how would you be able to limit it and create that measurement? You see Chappie moving more toward Simeon at shortstop, how would we know how long that is? Or even, you know, on the opposite side, you know, Joey Gallo, right? You're always shifting against him because you know what he is. Same thing, Matt Olson, he's a lefty. They're going to be shifting more toward the right on him. And I feel like that's a huge part of having an advantage. And, you know, that's part of the game. And how are you going to go out there and say, oh, that was, you know, 5 feet as opposed to the rule that's 4.5 feet? You're going to have somebody go out there with the tape measure. And I don't feel like it's viable. And I feel like that would just piss me off. And Rob Manfred's whole goal is to take time out of the game and just to create, I think, would just be a hot mess. So mama loves the shift. So we're going to keep it, but it's a good question. I feel like it's something that we should definitely talk about more. From my friends at the Beers, Business, and Balls podcast, was recently on there. Make sure you guys follow them. They're a really cool podcast. They ask, realistically, do you think the universal DH gets adopted in 2021? What do players think about it? Who, if anyone, do you think will be giving the league backlash? So I haven't talked to many players about the DH, but I cover the A's mainly. So it's just like Chris Davis is obviously the guy that gets the job done for the A's. And sometimes Canna will do it. Sometimes Pinder will do it. And I like having that situation because that kind of changes the entire lineup, right? This is actually kind of something I just thought about. So we're automatically thinking the reason why I like the universal DH first and foremost is how it extends careers. We got to see David Ortiz play a little bit longer. I love me some Joey Votto. So maybe that could extend his career. Albert Pujols will continue to keep playing if he can't play first base for a little bit longer because his body isn't kind of doing with it. So it can shift. So Chris Davis had a down season, right? You can put the Pinders in there. You can put the Cannas in there. And if you think about it from the other side, look at it from the Giants perspective. We tried to implement it in 2020. Why not? Let's F it. Let's experiment. It did shut up a lot of NL fans who pretended to hate it even before trying it. It's like me. I don't like yellow mustard, but the reason why I don't like it is because I didn't give it a try. Naturally, I'm a freaking hypocrite. And there are a lot of things that I don't like that I've never actually given a try. So that there's that. So, but if you look at the Giants DHs in 2020, they were really bad. You know, I think there were about five and like Ruff was in there and everything like that. They didn't, maybe they hit maybe sub 190, I think, as far as an average goes. So that didn't make a difference. So if you want to parallel that to maybe a pitcher doing it, you guys, Madison Bumgarner is not as clutch as you want to think, right? So I don't understand why you guys are freaking out. Like in watching a pitcher approach the plate, like stresses me the hell out. So yeah. And it's also something that you guys have to remember. There's another question that I'll answer. The universal DH, I can talk a little bit more about as far as next season goes. I don't think they're going to adopt it again because it was for 2020, but I'll get into that a little bit more. Sorry. I'm kind of babbling. From Q Cortez on Twitter, A's penchant for not locking up players is nothing new. Given that, do you find players heading into free agency as knowing the writing is on the wall or still holding on that perhaps they may be the exception? Absolutely love this question. So obviously when it comes to the A's, Eric Chavez signed an extension for $66 million back in the day. I think it was for 6 years. It was something crazy. It was like, that was a rarity. Another rarity just happened. Chris Davis signed a 2-year extension, which will have him be a free agent after this upcoming season. And that was only for 2 years, y'all. So I don't feel like, and that's big for the A's. Okay. So we're going to think about it from that. So I just spoke to a former A's pitcher about this. He said in the back of his head, he was always worried the extension wouldn't happen being a member of the A's. He also said the plans for the team in the future, they don't really equate to consistency, which is interesting because think about it, guys. I've been in the clubhouse. You don't want to count this year because of the fact that we couldn't go in the clubhouse. It was a lot of familiar faces, which is rare. The Cannas were still there. The Pinders were there. Obviously, the Davises, Chapman, Olson. That core was kind of still there for the most part, and that was rare. So it's kind of like perhaps they're building into something, but we don't know. So I do believe the Chris Davis extension could be breaking down that wall. And this, of course, was just one guy. But we're going to see what happens with Marcus Semien. So we do know that Marcus Semien had a big dip in 2020. It was a huge dip, to the point where that actually could help. 2019, he led the league in 747 plate appearances. I think he's batting 285, started every single game at shortstop. And with an injury and just a weird season, he wasn't doing well in 2020. He's coming up on a free agent after kind of brought back for a $13.5 million contract for a season this past season. And that dip is going to be interesting to see, and it might work in his favor. So A's GM David Force told us after the season during media availability, he made it clear he wants Semien to return. He physically texted Semien and said, "We want you back. That's like one of our goals." And you also have to remember, guys, after this season, the free agency market for shortstops is going to be like insane. You got Corey Seager, Francisco Lindor, Carlos Correa, Javier Baez, and Trevor Story. Those are like the biggest shortstop names you can even think of that are going to be free agents, on top of the fact that they're finally giving, you know, there's more shortstops out there that have power. You know, the Cal Ripkins aren't really around anymore. The Derek Jeters are kind of becoming the new thing. Where I wouldn't think of Derek Jeter as having tons of power, but you think of Carlos Correa, you watch him in the postseason, the guy's insane. So think about all these guys going out it, and it's going to be hopefully a normal offseason free agency situation next offseason, because after the weird unprecedented, and you want to put Semien out there, who I'm not bashing, like I'm in my 30s too. When you're 30 and heading into free agency, it's scary for other teams, right? And so he's going to go up against younger guys who, you know, are obviously being shopped, and Lindor might have an extension. He might get traded. We don't know yet. So it's certainly something for him to think about. So they might offer him something to skip over that season. I like the idea of a 3-year deal. Nobody's told me this. This is just my opinion, my speculation. I like that idea. As far as monetary value, this might be good for the A's, because the A's can, I don't want to say use it as an excuse to be like, hey, we're not going to spend a lot of money on y'all. But Marcus Semien is a Bay Area native. He's made a name for himself off the field in the community, born and raised here. And I feel like all the stars align kind of beautifully to make that happen. So maybe they'll skip next year's free agency and just sign into a 3-year contract, something like that. Money-wise, no idea. Don't ask. So I loved that question.
Are you faithful to the Bay? 49ers 2021 season tickets are available now, and locations are filling up quickly. Lock in your seats with a deposit today to secure your spot for next season. For more information, visit 49ers.com/season tickets.
Jake Zimmer on Twitter asked me, what's the best ballpark food you've ever had? You know, that's actually kind of a difficult question to ask, because sometimes I'll go to events at the ballpark and there are games there and those are catered. So you can't really associate like a barbecue place being catered at Oracle Park or something like that. But sometimes mama just needs like her chicken tenders, nachos in a helmet, because nachos in the flimsy, that's like not, those aren't nachos, you know, and an overpriced beer. I just like to keep it simple. But chicken tenders, though, lately, you can actually get multiple sauces in the chicken tenders. Like, you want 4 different types of sauces, dipping sauces? Like, let's do it. Let's go. RD Mancini on Twitter, you're commissioned for a day with unilateral power. Oh, I love this. To make any changes you want permanently. What do you do? So the obvious one would be to ban ballpark jumbotron proposals, because it interrupts the game, y'all. I hate it. And it's a slap in the face to love, man. Like, I love. And you want to show off your love to somebody in front of a bunch of strangers and interrupt a baseball game and put it on a jumbotron proposal, like when Bryce Harper is about to bat? I think that's trashy. But I did mention the universal DH earlier. I think if the league was anticipating it more rather than, hey, it's happening, it could be more successful. So the 2020 was an experimentation, right? And that could be why the Giants didn't excel. It was supposed to be like maybe Pablo Sandoval and Hunter Pence were going to be really, really good at that position, because of the fact that we weren't anticipating Hunter Pence retiring, but that could be good. And Pablo wasn't really becoming the defensive guy we're used to. So that would have been good from that perspective, but they didn't really do well. So maybe if they were shopping a DH to kind of cover that, you know, a, I don't know, Edwin Encarnacion type of deal. Maybe we'll see. However, it's simply because, I mean, I do like extending careers. I mentioned David Ortiz. I mentioned Pujols. I wish there was a way they could do that in football, but it's such an intense and physical sport. It's just not going to happen. And I, like I said, I also feel like you guys put so much pressure in saying that Madison Bumgarner rakes. He's raked a couple times. Look at his overall batting average. Like, it's not like we sign up for that. Watching Zach Greinke approach the plate, like, let's not do that anymore. Please. Will Tondo asks, if the MLB ever expands, what cities do you think should get a team? I love this question too. So I like the idea of Nashville having an MLB team because it's just like a fun touristy attraction. And they're always expanding. They only have a hockey team right now. I know they have a AAA team. They were once affiliated with the A's. I think they're the Cardinals now or the Nationals. I don't know. They're always shifting. I also like the idea of the Pacific Northwest, like the weather could be kind of interesting to go. Baseball isn't played indoors and to worry about that would be kind of annoying. I know Portland was trying to bring a team there for a little bit. And y'all, I even like Vegas. Vegas would be interesting because there's sports betting there. Obviously they're expanding. They have a hockey and a football team now. And like, why not? People are moving there like crazy because it's cheap. I mean, everywhere's cheaper than here, but it's fine. My dear friend, Danny Wexelman asked, which trade have you been most patient for and impressed with? So I'm not 100% sure I answered this correctly, but every time I hear the word trade, I remember the time when I heard Josh Donaldson got traded to the Blue Jays and I was sitting on the couch at my friend Melissa's house, who she actually asked a question for this. So I'll answer that. And it really caught a lot of people off guard. It was quickly after Josh Donaldson went onto social media, onto Twitter, how the A's had a lot of money. They just weren't spending it. And I don't know if that was attached and I'm just saying what happened, but it was an exchange for Brett Lowry, Sean Nolan, Kendall Graveman, and Franklin Barreto. Now, Barreto could be a good ball player. He really, really could. And Bob Melvin says, when that guy's on it, he could change an entire lineup. But he excels in spring training. And when it comes to time to perform, he just doesn't do it. So the only guy in that trade that's really being successful right now is Kendall Graveman. And he kind of had an interesting journey. Now he's doing really, really well. But beyond that, eh. So when that happened, I was like, WTF, bro. Like, what does this even mean? However, fast forward a few years, you know, you trade an all-star third baseman for a two-time Platinum Glove Award all-star third baseman and Matt Chapman. So in that case, patience like definitely paid off, but to this day, it was just a weird trade. And I hope there was nothing ill behind it, but you know, it's interesting. I mentioned Melissa. So she asked, you know, who my favorite Reds fan is, my affinity with Joey Votto. And, but beyond Joey Votto, who would be my favorite Reds player, the easy one would say Trevor Bauer. I mean, he's a free agent, but he's still technically associated with the Reds right now. He's coming off at a possible NL Cy Young Award winning season. But I've always kind of had this affinity for Eugenio Suarez. Obviously, Matt Chapman is my favorite third baseman, but don't sleep on Eugenio because the way that he is defensively, and he had that really strong offensive year. I want to say 2019. He was just on fire. So he definitely does that for me. And I obviously love the Reds, not just for Joey, but because of, you know, Eugenio and just a good, good ball club. And I'm glad they made the postseason. Lorenzen has always been really impressive, not just because one of his arms is the size of my body, but, you know, just from that perspective, it's been interesting. So y'all, thank you so much for asking questions. I know I probably could have done more. They're just literally a lot going on in this world. So the turnout wasn't as what I anticipated, but I'm glad you guys did send me questions. It means the world to me that you guys even tune in each and every week. And we'll be back next week. And I appreciate everything. And once again, y'all are my thoughts. Stay strong. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Balk Talk Podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.